Midnight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
Well, so only a couple minutes late tonight. We are still learning some of the technical details, but we're getting there. This is Karen, and I have Rick Hale with me. Hey, Rick.
Hello, how are you guys? How's everybody out there? We got a lot of people in the chat room tonight.
I know. Shout out to the chat room.
Hello, chat room.
Yeah, and Ghost Hunter 50, who always wants to be shouted out to, isn't even in there. So
I thought I saw him.
I guess not. No. But we're in there. I'm in there as Karen Frazier, and Rick is in there as Ghostly Gonzo. We also have on our boards, and on the technical side, Cheryl Knight, who's in the chat room, is Mystical Knight. And in the chat room for us tonight is also Heidi. So hi to everybody. So Rick, how was your week?
The week was quite possibly the happiest week of my life. I don't know if too many people read it, but a few months ago I wrote a blog for paranormalunderground.net called The Long Hard Road, where I, you know, touched on quite a bit about, you know, my wife and I, our difficulty with her getting pregnant, and you know, found out that she is pregnant, and on Tuesday we found out that we're having a boy.
That's awesome. That's really exciting. Did you have a preference?
No, we just wanted it to be human.
Wouldn't that have been amazing if it was like a black-eyed kid or something?
You know, I was just about to say that, a black-eyed kid or a hybrid, so I think we're okay there.
Well, that must mean that you're 100% human, too. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I think she's 100% human, too.
Well, I never held your wife in any doubt. I haven't met her, but, you know, I knew if there was an inhuman side to your family, I knew who it was going to be.
My family are nothing but inhuman, let me tell you.
And they don't listen to the show, so it's all okay, right?
Oh, no, because everything that I do with the writing and the show and whatever else with the investigations and all that, according to my mom, it's all of the devil, so.
Well, sorry to hear that. I have some kind of really frightening news for you tonight. Scarier than anything paranormal. Are you ready?
Okay.
I'm totally cranky.
Cranky? So you're like crabby?
I am. I'm in a really crabby mood.
I woke up when I got up about 4 o'clock, I was feeling really crabby, and then, you know, just, you know, kind of lightened the mood a little bit, you know, did a little working out, and, you know, it helped lighten the mood a little bit.
Oh, well, so you think I should do the show from the elliptical trainer then? It's sitting here behind me. Absolutely. It could be interesting.
That always makes you feel better, you know, a little working out, you know, lifting, whatever, always makes you feel good.
Yeah, so good show tonight. We have several people on. First, we're going to be having Mindy Kinneman, and Mindy is a reviewer. She reviews books and movies, and she's going to be talking. We don't know what she's going to be talking about. It's going to be a complete surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love going into this kind of stuff cold. You know, it's always a nice surprise.
Awesome. Okay. And then later on, we're going to have Bob and Cherry from WPRS in Kansas City. Is that right? No.
Yep.
Is that right? Yeah. And then after that, Wichita. We have, what's that, Cheryl?
Wichita,
Kansas.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh.
Which is why they're called Wichita Paranormal Research Society.
Way to go.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Is it the Percocet again?
No, I'm, you know, maybe that's why I'm cranky, is because I'm not on the Percocet tonight. So no, this
going through withdrawal.
Yeah, this is two shows without Percocet. Well, I just didn't think that I wanted to have to, you know, go to Betty Ford.
Yeah.
Like in the
movie Trainspotting, where he's getting cleaned out in the bedroom and he sees the ghost of the dead baby walking on the ceiling. You didn't want that kind of thing, right?
No, I really don't. I'm just trying to picture that. So I was having a conversation with my son today, and he for the first time ever watched the Chucky movies.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
I know. And his birthday's coming up, so I'm going to see if I can find him a Chucky doll. And, you know, when he goes up to his room on his birthday, it's going to be sitting on his pillow.
Yeah, go. I, you know what? I remember those dolls, too, when I was a kid. The My Buddy dolls.
Yeah.
Those were great. You know, they were creepy. Just straight up creepy. So you should get him one of those.
I'm a good mom. I just basically, you know, he lives to freak the crap out of me. He's lately been telling me that he sees snake spider bats flying over my head. So I think he's got a Chucky doll in his future.
Snake spider bats, like in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. That poor bastard will soon see those bats soon enough. So yeah.
So also we have the August issue of Paranormal Underground, which should be out any day. Cheryl, any day, right?
Any day. Our August issue is going to come out, and we will send a mass email to Paranormal Underground members to let them know when it's online. People can check it out for free on our site.
Awesome articles in it. I wrote about the Ouija board. What did you write about, Rick?
I don't know what you guys put in there this month for me.
What'd Rick write about, Cheryl?
That was actually your next question.
You know, Rick writes, he writes all sorts of things for us these days. I think this month we have him writing Haunted Sites, and it is about 5 American haunts that will have you coming back for more.
That's what it is. Yeah, yeah, I read it. Yeah.
Isn't it 5 American haunts that'll make you pee your pants and then come back for more?
Originally, that is what it said. Yes.
We may have edited that out. The title
was a little long, so I had to sacrifice a couple of words, and that part got cut. Sorry.
Okay.
Five little haunts that'll make you drop your kids off at school. No, what did you say it was called? Dropping the kids off at the pool.
How did we get there? Five haunted locations that will make you pee your pants and have you going back for more.
That's what's going to be in the August issue, written by Rick. Yes.
All right. And I think that we're also featuring WPRS this month, aren't we? Or am I wrong about that, too?
Well, you are wrong about that. In a way, we are, and in a way, we aren't. Michelle Pillow, who went on a recent investigation with WPRS at Cowtown, has written about her experience there, and it was her first ever investigation. So people will want to check that out, because there's lots of cool stuff going on there. And I don't know if Michelle was able to get back with WPRS, but I know she was planning on it, so maybe we can get an update on that too. And of course, Ouija boards will be the cover story of the August issue.
Satan's favorite board game.
Woo-hoo. Well, you know, I have an interesting Ouija board experience that I'm not going to tell now, but I had it up at Wellington with Bert and Jamie Coates, and it was an interesting experience, and I am of the mind that Ouija boards are toys. That's all, just toys. And after my experience at Wellington, I certainly wonder. So
I don't know. I think using a Ouija board for a paranormal investigator would make you kind of lose a little bit of street cred. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm not a real investigator. Let's face it. I'm a reporter who writes about it. I follow the real investigators around and write about what they do. I'm not a real investigator. It's okay. Oh. So it's all good. Okay, so we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to have Mindy with some reviews of something.
Something.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
And we're back. That was Agnes Day 10, and it was by the same person whose music we always use, Kevin MacLeod. So we have Mindy Kinneman with us, and Mindy has a podcast called The Devil and Miss Mindy, which is a podcast about film, TV, and whatever else we happen to ramble on about, Mindy. Is that right?
That is right.
And your website for people who want to listen to the podcast?
Oh, it's The Devil and Miss Mindy. podbean.com.
Great. Okay. So you started to tell us what you were going to be talking about, and it was Inception, and then you had something else too. What was the other one?
It's the Norwegian zombie film Dead Snow.
Ooh, a Norwegian zombie film. Do they speak Norwegian?
Yes, they do. So it is a foreign film, but it is hilarious. So it's totally fun.
All right. Well, go ahead.
Shaun of the Dead, hilarious, or
not quite, but it's been compared to it, and it is pretty fun.
Cool.
Okay. Well, let's start with Inception, because that's a movie that I am really interested in, and isn't that the one with Leonardo DiCaprio in it? Not that I care about that, but
oh yeah, I don't know. Leonardo's a good actor. Sorry.
Oh, you're good. Yo, it does have Leonardo DiCaprio, and he's actually had a pretty good year between this and Shutter Island, which is
great
another
movie,
film.
Yeah.
Yeah, a really good film. And then this also has a couple other faces that you'll probably recognize, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who most people would probably, at the very least, know from Third Rock from the Sun. Ellen Page.
Okay.
Okay. Ken Watanabe.
That's Juno.
Yeah,
oh,
Juno.
I love him.
Yeah. And Cillian Murphy, Tom Berenger, Michael Caine, of course, who I think is in pretty well every Christopher Nolan movie from like the past 5-10 years, and that's who directed this film as well.
So, great cast.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic cast, fantastic acting, and probably the most unique story I've seen on the big screen in a while. For those of you who aren't familiar, basically, Leonardo DiCaprio and his crew are thieves, and they break into people to get their secrets through their minds while they are asleep. And in this case that they pull at the end, which is the main focus of the film, they're actually not stealing something, they're implanting a thought in Cillian Murphy's mind. And it's something that you have to be really careful, because you can't just tell somebody and have them accept something that they wouldn't normally believe. Mm-hmm. So that's the twist of the film. Telling him something he wouldn't have thought otherwise and getting him to believe it and act upon it.
Yeah, so, sort of like, like regressive hypnotherapy.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, you really have to take the idea and you have to make him want to say it, to want to believe it, and to set it up just so that it works. And of course, like any crime film, there are obstacles along the way and lots of twists and turns. You don't know how it's going to end up. And the script for this film actually took Christopher Nolan 8 years to write. And I think he did such a great job of doing that, that mm-hmm. it just works beautifully. I mean, he really spent a lot of time focusing on every nitpicky detail, and I think he came up with about as flawless as a script as he's written.
Great. So not a lot of plot holes is what you're saying.
Right. And it's just, I mean, it's just so wholly unique and different. And so on that alone, I would recommend seeing it, just because you're seeing something that is not a remake of something else, especially in this age where every horror movie, it seems, is being remade, and mm-hmm. every movie from the 80s or TV show from the 80s, for that matter, are being remade. It's just a completely new and original idea that is well developed and then well acted by just an amazing cast. So
great. Good. Good.
I mean, obviously this been at number one since it came out, and it's going to stay there, but I definitely would not be surprised at all if people are getting award nominations for this film.
Wow, really? It's that good? Cool.
It's great. I see a lot of films. This movie it instantly jumped into my top 10 favorite films of all times, and it's tied right now for first place of the best film I've seen this year.
What's the other one?
So. The other film is a French film by the gentleman who did Amelie. It's called Micmacs. And that one's my favorite for a completely different reason.
You have a huge film budget, don't you, Mindy?
Actually, no, but I have a job that is nice enough to give me a home and free cable and free internet and stuff, so I pay bills.
Awesome.
But, yeah, have a little more money for movies.
Great. Plus, okay, so yeah, I know it is. So let's move on to Norwegian zombies, did you say?
Well, it's a Norwegian zombie film. The zombies themselves are actually Nazi zombies. Yes.
All right, so tell us about it.
This is a film from last year. It was actually about this time last year that I had started hearing the words Nazi zombies and thought to myself, okay, that sounds too interesting. I have to figure out how I can watch this film. Saw it, I think, back in February. We actually reviewed it on my podcast because I just was like, we have to review this film. This film's too amazing. I think this is really an undiscovered gem because a few people in the horror movie like fans, they know of it, but not a lot of people have actually gone out and see it. And this is a film that you can watch on Netflix Instant. If you are into Netflix, you can actually find it in stores. I found my copy at Blockbuster. So, mm-hmm. I mean, or not Blockbuster, at Best Buy. So, I mean, it's pretty accessible for it being a foreign film. But this one, it's quite funny. You've got a group of medical school students from some town they never say in Norway, and they travel out into the Norwegian mountains, and they're going to stay in the cabin of their friend Sarah, who is supposed to meet them there. And you're actually introduced to Sarah right off the bat in one of the greatest zombie film openings I think I've seen in forever. I won't say what, you just got to watch it. But their first night staying in the cabin, they receive this guest visitor, this old man who tells them about the evil lurking in the hills, is basically trying to scare them off and warn them away. And he tells this story about how during World War II, a group of Nazis came to this area and basically pillaged the whole area, stole all the money and treasures and things like that they could get their hands on, and then buried it up in the hills. And they don't explain how the Nazis become zombies, which is a little nitpicky, but in the grand scheme of things, the movie's so much fun that you don't always care about that. But they, of course, become zombies, and they are protective of their treasure. So they are going to make sure that nobody stays up there, and if they do stay up there, they're not going to stay up there for long, because they will, of course, be killed by zombies. And I think that part of the reason why this movie is so much fun is just some of the situations that the med students find themselves placed in, both before and after the zombies start to attack. Some of the ways that they fight the zombies are just quite fun. And then just some silly things. Like, there's one point where two of the guys are in the cabin and they decide they're going to make Molotov cocktails. And one of them is guarding the window with the gun and the other one lights it up, goes to throw, and ends up catching the entire cabin on fire. They call 911 and report that they're being attacked by Nazi zombies, and of course 911 hangs up on them. You know, it's just silly little moments like that that just make for just this fun film. And so, yes, it's foreign. Yes, there's subtitles, but I'm sure you can watch it with a dub if you just don't like subtitles. Mm-hmm. But it's just so silly and so fun that I have to recommend this film a lot.
Dead Snow. Right?
Dead Snow.
Yeah, I just pulled it up on my Netflix on my iPad while you were talking, and yep, instant play. I could play it right now, but then, you know, I'd drift away. So here's the question I have, is will this movie cure Cheryl of her zombie fear?
Well, okay. You know what? Prior to 2004, I hated zombie movies. That was the one thing that gave me nightmares. It was the one thing that I couldn't watch. And I actually still have zombie nightmares, so if that helps. The movie that helped me was Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, there you go, Cheryl.
Great movie. Love that movie.
Hilarious. Right.
I highly recommend that movie. I started with that, and then I jumped really far and went with the 2004 remake of Dawn of the Dead, which I do not recommend if you're terrified of zombies. Mm-hmm. I could not sleep that night, and I like was trying to think of everything in my bedroom that I could utilize as a weapon in the event that it broke in.
See, Karen, I'm not the only one.
Oh, I have a baseball bat by my bed, and that's exactly why. Yeah. I would start with a funnier one. So start with Shaun of the Dead, start with Dead Snow, and then I would actually even recommend the classic George Romero zombie films. Like, Night of the Living Dead is not gory, it's not graphic, it's creepy because of, you know, the black and white setting and because of the situation that happens, but to me it's not terrifying, so that one would be a good one to start with. And then, of course, if you watch some of the other ones, seeing some of the early special effects kind of make you giggle. Especially the original Dawn of the Dead, there is a scene where a zombie gets his head sheared off by the top of a helicopter blade. And it's just so cheesy looking special effects wise that it's funny. So start with those and kind of work your way through the Romero to then into the remakes. Although I would not recommend the remake of Day of the Dead because that's just bad. And then apparently there's a sequel to that even worse. But, I mean, some of them, Dawn of the Dead remake still gives me chills when I watch it. I actually watched it earlier this week, too. But there are other funny zombie movies. I actually watched Zombies of Mass Destruction, which is pretty funny. Zombieland, of course, the big one from last year. Highly recommend the film. So, yeah, try to start with the funnier ones and then go to the early ones and work your way into the more scary ones if you want to try to watch them and gradually learn to appreciate them.
There you go.
The evil are good too, so.
That's like a whole prescription for zombie movies. If you're just sitting around one day looking for something to do, get yourself a bunch of zombie movies. That sounds like a great day to me, actually. Sounds like fun. Okay, Mindy, thank you so much. We need to go to break. If you want to listen to Mindy's podcast, it's The Devil and Miss Mindy. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
podbean.com. Yep. All right. Thanks, Mindy. We'll
go
to break, and we'll be back with Bob and Sherry from WPRS in just a minute.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at Paranormal UG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
This is Karen Frazier, founder of the Namaste Project. Several months ago, I was really struggling with a number of people in my life. I got tired of being angry all of the time. One day I was driving home thinking about how I could stop being angry when the words, the Namaste Project, popped into my head. In that moment, I understood that every person, even the ones who made me angry, had a light of the divine in them, and if I could just find that light in every person I encountered, then my world would be a better place. The Namaste Project was born. Now I'm inviting you to join me. Visit namasteproject.org to learn how you can change your world. Change happens one person at a time. I hope you'll join me. That's namasteproject.org. Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
We're back. Hello. Welcome back, everybody. Tonight's guest is going to be a real treat. We have Bob Gilmer and Sherry Curry from Wichita Paranormal Research Society. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. Wonderful. Thanks for having us.
Great.
And that would be in Wichita, not in Kansas City.
Yeah. Did I say Kansas City?
No, that was me earlier.
Oh, that was you earlier. Yeah, from Wichita. And tonight, Bob and Sherry are going to be sharing with us some of their EVPs and a ghost box session from their investigations at Cowtown. And no, it's not a fictional Disney place. It's a real place. Apparently, it's pretty haunted, guys, right?
Yes, it's Cowtown. You can look it up online. It's the old Cowtown Museum in Wichita, and it's basically a what they call a living museum. So they have people set up in the different buildings that you can tour, and they dress up in the time period, and you can tour it like a museum and see what they do. But mm-hmm. we go in at night because of the claims from the volunteers and employees out there, and we investigate for that activity that they talk about.
Do you think that it's more active because people dress up in the period costumes?
See, I thought that myself. You know, I wonder if, you know, the ghosts that passed away in the 1800s and the late 1800s see these period pieces and people acting, you know, like they used to, and if it sparks them up. I've always wondered that. We don't really know for sure, but it's definitely pretty cool.
Yeah, so tell us what goes on.
Oh,
Bob, why don't you go first?
Okay, there's so many. We've actually seen full-body shadows running outside on the property and actually in some of the buildings. We hear footsteps, voices that you can actually hear with your ears, like full conversations of people talking, and there's nobody around, no rhyme or reason for it. It's pretty cool. Pretty much anything you can think of in claims of paranormal, we've encountered there. Cold spots, footsteps, you know, the whole nine yards. And it's not in just one location. There's 30 different buildings out there, and each one has its own little story that has experiences there or claims and stuff.
Now, we haven't found activity in every single location out there, but they all have their great stories, whether it's history or stories from the volunteers or stories from us, because I think pretty much all of us now have had some sort of personal experience, and several of us have had many experiences out there.
And just so you know, some of the buildings are actually period real buildings from the 1800s that they shipped in throughout all of Kansas, brought it to one location. So some of the buildings are actually over 100 years old. So they're not all just like replica buildings. Some of them are actually real. Like the first jail ever in Wichita, Kansas is there. And you can go in there and tour it and stuff. And it's pretty cool.
Wow.
So I've always wondered if the ghosts are actually attached to the buildings themselves, since they were bought in throughout the whole state of Kansas.
Since there's so many different locations, and we usually investigate multiple locations while we're out there, there's no telling. I mean, one can be probably attached to the building, and another could be attached to items, because they do redecorate out there with additional items out of storage that have been donated to the museum. So it's been really difficult for us to tell that for sure.
Now, did the museum contact you guys to find out what was going on there?
Actually, one of our investigators that's no longer with us suggested it, and we've actually created a wonderful relationship with the Cowtown Museum, and we do a charity event with them every year to help keep their doors open. And we've just continued that relationship. Well, this year will be year three for us.
So tell us a little bit about the history of Cowtown.
Well, it was a sandbar. It's right beside the Arkansas River, the Arkansas River.
Thank you.
People that live in Kansas call it the Arkansas River. I believe they opened in September of, Lori's going to kill me, she's our historian. I believe they opened it in 1958.
That sounds right.
And they were, they're constantly having buildings and things donated. I mean, they just put up last year, a brand new building that they have restored. It's constantly changing out there, adding one thing here, one thing there, one building here, one building there. And there are some locations there that were built on site as replicas of, you know, a clothier or things like that. And we've actually have investigated some of those also. They have a funeral parlor there that was built on site, but all the woodwork inside of it is actually from an old funeral home. And I believe Ted, one of our investigators, he's gotten a couple of EVPs while investigating inside of there. But we haven't gotten much, actually, from that particular location. But you just never know.
Well, let's actually listen to a couple of the EVPs before we continue to talk about it a little bit. I know Cheryl has some queued up, so I'm going to let her talk to you about the EVPs and have you set them up.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Bob and Sherry. Nice to have you on. Thanks for joining us.
Sure.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
You sent over some pretty interesting EVPs, and I think I have about five of them. The first one that I'm going to put on is titled Adam Stole It. Can you set up for our listeners what's going on here, and then I'll play it?
Yes, this is at the hotel. This hotel has a dining room underneath. You would check in. They would serve patrons. The upstairs has a couple of rooms decorated as they would be decorated with a hallway. Now, okay. You can't walk into those rooms. They're blocked off, but you can walk up and down the hallway. When the question was posed or asked, "Do you like money?" by a guest investigator, because they had a money-making machine beside one of the beds, a counterfeit money-making machine.
Okay.
And then this was the response, and it was me and this other female, and we got this male response.
Okay, let's play that. Okay, great. Here we go.
So did you make money?
Okay, do you want me to play that one more time?
Do, yeah, play it one more time.
Okay.
Well, I'm used to listening to it much louder than that.
We don't want to
close everybody.
We don't want to blast out people's ears.
Yeah, let me see if I can turn up the volume just a little bit more. So, listeners, here we go. I'm going to up the volume just a little bit. Here we go. Watch your ears, and I'm going to play it.
So, did you make money?
Okay, so I hear something.
Wow.
I hear something after the question.
I heard a yes. Is that what it says?
No, it says Adam stole it.
Yeah, I clearly heard that. That is a great EVP.
I didn't hear it.
It takes a little bit to hear it from the static in the background, because we don't amplify our EVPs. We just play them as we hear them.
Do you filter them?
No, we don't touch them. That way they are... people can't say, well, you've put stuff into it and messed with them. They're just as we hear them off the recorders. We don't, amplify. We might amplify sound just a tad, but we don't put it through filters or any of that stuff. So now, it might be a lot clearer if we ever did, but
Jeremy is, he's our software tech, and he helps make movies and things like that for us when we're having an event at Cowtown. Now, he'll play that in the movie as it came across, but then he will amplify it and tell the percentage of the decibels that he's upped the volume on that particular piece so everyone can hear it without having to wear headphones.
Let's listen to it one more time now that people know what to listen for.
Yeah, and I got a question after that, so.
Okay.
Okay, let me turn up the volume and we'll listen to it one more time.
So did you make money?
Wow.
There we go.
We're still trying to find out who Adam is.
Actually, that was going to be my question. If you guys were able to do some kind of, you know, historical research and find out, you know, who Adam is.
Right.
We haven't found an Adam yet, but we've actually done research on some of the buildings and actually found history of people that lived in those buildings and found their gravestones around Wichita. Mm-hmm. And actually, they're real people, and we've actually gotten names of the people that lived in there. Okay. So, we haven't heard of Adam yet. We haven't found an Adam, but not saying that there's not one around, but...
Right.
Hmm. Okay. All right, so...
That's just an outstanding EVP.
Yeah, oh. I'm not hearing it. All I can hear is yes, but that's probably just me.
Just wait. The ones that we've sent, they get better.
Oh, no, I know, and I'll listen to what I actually plan to do, because I have a copy of this, is I am going to filter it.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to, and you might be able to clear it out, and it might not even say what we think it does.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't really know, because everybody hears it differently. You know, people in the chat room are hearing yes.
Yeah.
But to us, we hear Adam stole it, you know, because we've listened to it I don't know how many times, and it sounds, but that could just be matrixing in our head, I guess.
Well, I know how EVPs
Adam
are,
stole it, then everybody heard it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, cool. Let's go on to the next one then.
All right, the next one we have is basically a coughing sound that is unidentified. So why don't you set this one up for us and tell us what's going on here?
Okay, this is in what's called the DeVore Farm. It's an old farmhouse that the Smith family lived in. And... there's several of us that have disputed what this actually, some people think it says something. I think it sounds like a child with crooping cough. And it basically, I was investigating and this is what I got as one of the recordings out there.
Okay, let's go ahead and play it once and then we'll talk about it and then we'll play it again. I'm going to turn up the volume a little bit and play.
I think it's saying something. Either that or it's something being dragged across the floor.
See, and to me, it sounded like I'm here, but I don't
know.
That's
what comes with EVPs, if they're not, you know,
Class
extremely
A.
clear and screaming at you, it's, you know, it's what do you hear kind of
right.
thing.
Yeah.
This is what I hear. I hear a child with crooping cough, and someone else hears it actually saying something. And that's that's great about our team, is we can have these little disputes and still love each other.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, oh, sure.
Yeah, Cheryl, it sounds like a breathy, like I'm here, to me, but I don't know.
Yeah, it actually sounds like I actually hear consonants in it, and what somebody told me who is an EVP person is that you listen for consonants, and that's how you could pick out whether it's speech or not, and I actually think I hear consonants.
Well, can we hear it again?
Yeah, let's listen again.
Here we go. Yeah, I hear that cough. I hear a cough.
Yeah, that time I heard a cough.
Yeah,
I hear the cough, but also I swear to God, it sounds like I'm here.
Yeah, okay. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
One time you listen to it, it sounds like a cough, and the next time you hear, I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah.
So somebody in the chat room.
Us.
Yeah, really. Somebody in the chat room actually asked if you want to know, are most EVPs hard to hear without turning up the volume? And I know the answer, but I'll let one of you guys answer that for me.
Go ahead, Bob.
I would say probably 80% of them are hard to hear. They're whispers, or you hear a voice that's not the two people that are investigating at the time. And you're like, we can't make it out. There's something there. We can present it to the homeowner, say, but like in the museum, you know, we don't really have some. We do in October, we do like a public reveal. Something like that we might play for somebody, but we like to play the ones that you can hear, you know, 100%, you're sure, no, or get out, or I'm here, you know, very, very loud.
The
Class A. That one that you just played would probably be a B or a C, because it could say something, it could big cough, we're not really 100% sure, but but there's something definitely there that's out of the normal.
Let's go ahead and go through real quick Class A, Class B, and Class C EVPs, Sherry.
Well, Class A, I think is, of course, this is my opinion, are those that you hear plain as day. You know what they say. Everyone agrees as to what is said, and it doesn't come across as a whisper. A Class B would be, yeah, you can make it out, but it's kind of soft. Class C, you're probably going to have to crank the volume up and think about it really hard. What do you say, Bob?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, C's are like you have to have headphones in a quiet room, and it might be, you know, or something where you could barely hear it. So we don't really, I don't really like those kind. If I can't hear it with my own ears without, you know, stepping back away from the recorder and playing it and setting it down and stepping like 5 feet away from it, if I can't hear it, then I usually throw it out. Mm-hmm. So that would be like a Class C to me.
Yeah. Also, if you need subtitles, then there's no reason in keeping it.
Right. Well, what's the point? Yeah.
Class, and I sort of tend to think that whispers, for the most part, unless it's a very obvious, clear whisper, that most whispers are need to be discounted anyway, because so many things on EVPs can sound like whispers. You can you can zip. You can scrape your foot, you can accidentally run your thumb across the recorder, and all of those things. So I sort of tend to think of whispers as the orbs of EVPs anyway. Most of them. Now, there are some that are very, very clear, but
you have one that's a whisper that's very, very clear that Bob sent to you.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to getting to that one because I listened to it, and it said something about whisper in the title, and I thought, oh, God, here we go, and I listened to it, and I was like, whoa, no, I heard that. So let's go ahead and go on to the next EVP.
This one we're going to play next is titled Three of Us Here, I believe. So let us know what's going on with this one.
This is me and Nick from PRI and Tim from PRI. They are both from a team from Topeka. They came to join us as guest investigators, and we are in the Terrendine Hall, which used to be an Oddfellows Hall, also used as the City Hall. It's actually attached to the hotel by a little kind of a kitchen area in the back. They're two separate buildings, but they've got a connection.
Okay.
And we're sitting down, and I'm explaining to them what the Oddfellows are, and one of them asks, I believe, how many do you see here? And then we got that. And I actually sent it to them because I wasn't familiar with their voice enough to say what it was or wasn't them. And they said it was not them. So,
okay.
Because it does sound male. And I know it wasn't me. So,
okay. Let's listen.
It almost sounds like a mocking what was being asked.
Okay. Here we go.
Are the three of us the only ones here?
Okay.
Well, you can't make it out there, but on with my headphones, you could hear three of us on that.
It's right near the end?
Where it sounded like a moan.
Yeah,
it sounded like a chair scraping across the floor.
It kind of sounded like an echo to me.
And we were actually sitting on a stage, not touching any chairs.
Okay, so let's hear it again because it's right in the last couple seconds, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I think I heard that. It was to me. It sounded like a moan, but that's what I made out at the end there.
Okay, let's listen again.
Are the three of us the only ones here?
Yeah, it's that moan sound. When you've got your headphones on, it actually sounds like three of us really fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh, interesting. Okay. Well, I hear what you're talking about, but it's again, maybe that's another one that I may actually see if I can clean up and see what I can get out of it.
Okay. Yeah, I just hear like a moany echo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a very echoey building. I mean, it's a big like open it. Room.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the problems with EVPs a lot of times are the acoustics of where you are, too, make it really difficult sometimes to sort your way through the sounds that you're hearing on the recorder, don't you think?
Mm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right, next one.
Okay, this one I think I would call a Class A. It's the one titled I Don't Know, which probably just gave it away. But would you guys consider this a Class A?
I would, but there's a very strange story behind it.
Okay. Tell us.
I was going to change. We use a DVR system, IR cameras, full spectrum, and all that. Anyway, I'm one of the tech guys, so I was going to change the DVDs out, and they run for about 4 hours. Anyway, I had my recorder in my cargo pants. And I was wearing shorts at the time, I think, and it was hanging out the top of it. And I never turn my recorder off, even if I go to the bathroom, because we've actually gotten EVPs doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got in the habit, I always leave it run. And you hear me walking on the boardwalk of Cowtown outside, and I was walking to where the station was to set it up, or to change the DVDs out, and I got this, and it shocked me. I had never had any feelings. I was just walking.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't even investigating, and I got it, and it was in my pocket, so you'll hear.
Okay. No one was around you?
No, there was people investigating, and the person I was investigating with was right behind me. So, and it wasn't them, because you'll hear how loud it is, and mm-hmm. it was in my pocket.
Okay.
So
I was waiting right for you
yeah.
at the Trapper Cabin. You were, yeah. You were going to do that, and I was waiting for you when you
and
walked.
I ran into other investigators going to another place, and they were right there with me. So I was not alone. I was actually with people right there, because right at the very beginning, you hear me talking to them, and the recorder was in my pocket.
And so was the microphone sticking out of the top of the pocket? Is that how it was?
Yeah, it was. Because mm-hmm. you can actually hear my boot prints and stuff, and my footsteps walking on the boardwalk, and I was just... I just had my Melmeter in my one pocket, and I just put everything in my pockets because I was just going to do my chore to turn to change the DVDs out, and I wasn't even thinking. I've always just put stuff in my pocket when I'm not investigating.
Right, right. Okay, let's take a listen.
Okay, here we go. Oh,
yo, what's up?
That's not it.
That's definitely not it.
That's not it. Let's go back. Let's go back and get it. Okay, let's try that again. All right, it's not wanting to play this particular audio file. Let me try and see if I can get that to go again.
It's a ghost.
I don't know. I was really, if the yo what's up with it was it, I was going to be really excited. Woo-hoo!
That was Black Eyed Peas. That was not it.
It's the ghost of Tupac.
All right, let's try this one more time. Oh, darn. You know, it's not wanting to play this audio file. So what I'm going to do is, while we're chatting, I'm going to go try and load it up again from my source file. And hopefully it's going to work for us, because it's pretty good EVP.
Okay, so what's the next one in the meantime?
Well, the next one is pretty eerie. It's basically, it's a little tough to make out at first, but my second listening, I was able to make it out. And,
don't tell you what it says.
Yeah, I can't tell you what it says, but why don't you know what I'm talking about, Sherry and Bob, so why don't you just give us the details surrounding when you captured this.
Okay, this was one of our first investigations, and Donna and Jeremy had gone into the Murdoch house. Marshall Murdoch was the creator of the first newspaper here in Wichita. He was hired to come to Wichita to open up the first paper. This is inside of his house. Donna and Jeremy had gone upstairs, and at that time, Donna was using a tape recorder. She didn't have the digital yet, and so that's why it kind of sounds fuzzy the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after this investigation, they go up, they investigate, they come down, everything's fine. The next day, Donna calls me almost in tears, freaking out about this ghost screaming at the top of his lungs at her.
Wow.
Which I really think it was yelling at Jeremy, because they were upstairs in the bedroom area, which in the 1800s was very inappropriate for men to be in the bedroom areas when it was not their home. So I'm thinking that's why he was yelling.
Okay.
Okay.
So. Okay, let's play this one. Okay, could you guys hear that one?
Yeah.
No, let's can we hear it again?
Yes, you can hear it again.
Now, there was the question posed that before this happened, Jeremy asked, was this your bedroom?
Okay.
And then this, and they did not hear this.
At the time, they didn't hear this. Okay.
Right.
Ooh, that gives me the chills.
Karen, is that the one that you said sounds like somebody's flushing a toilet?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me, too. Sorry,
guys. Is there a toilet in the room? I mean, or no. Not in the bedroom, but is there a toilet nearby that could have been flushing?
No.
Okay, all right.
There's no running water in this house.
Okay. Oh, well, that makes a big difference. Yeah. But I have to tell you, with the headphones on, because when I listened to him earlier today, I didn't have the headphones on because I kind of wanted to listen to him the way that people would hear them on the air. And without the headphones, it really sounded like a toilet. But I hear the cadence of what you say it says, and I certainly hear the tone. Let's go ahead and listen to it one more time.
Now you hear Jeremy and Donna walking, the footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
That clip, clip, clip. That's mm-hmm. them walking upstairs, because it's all hardwood floors.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they're walking, and they didn't respond because they didn't hear that going on.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know what? Let's do this. Should we go to break and have Cheryl try and cue up that other EVP? Does that sound like a good idea, Cheryl?
Sure. Yeah, we can definitely do that.
Let's do that. We'll go to break, and when we come back, hopefully we'll have the EVP running. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can talk to your favorite show hosts from the Z-Talk Radio Network? Check out the forum and see what it's all about at ztalkradio.com.
Station identification.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
Yo, what's up? This is the Black Eyed Peas, and we're here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in our lives, but nothing is more important than life itself. So when you drink and drive, you're risking the life of yourself and the lives of everybody on the road. Don't plan to drive, just plan ahead.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
All right, so we think we got it loaded up, the other EVP, while we were on break. Let's go ahead and give that EVP a try, Cheryl.
All right, I can't make any promises, but we're going to give this another try, and let's go. All right, it's unfortunately, it does not want to play this file.
Oh, shoot.
I'll send it to her again.
Yeah, if you can shoot it over to me again, I can try and reload it up, because this is the one I really wanted to play. So in the meantime... Oh, go ahead, Karen.
I was going to say, so do we have other ones then in the meantime? Or?
Well, I know that we have two more ghost box clips from Bob. And Bob, do you want to talk about your experimentation with the ghost box?
Sure. We don't use it as evidence, but it's just something I've been messing around with. just kind of to see what all the fuss is about it, because it seems like ever since like John Zaffis and all these famous people are starting to use the Ghost Box all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of was curious, so I went to Radio Shack and got my own and made my own. And you can get them. It's very easy. You can look it up online. It took me 5 minutes to make one. And it was $20 at, you know, Radio Shack.
Huh?
But, yeah, they're very inexpensive, very easy to do. But, yeah, so I've just been kind of working around with them and messing around with it. Everybody's not really sure. I'm not really sure myself because it's radio frequencies. It's like, how do I know I'm not hearing radio stations and bleed through? And so I'm kind of just experimenting and asking insanely hard questions that, you know, well, Sherry was there, and one time I was asking, you know, I had my Mel meter on a bed and I was like, well, can you tell me what color that light is? And I get green. And I was like, well, what's my name? It says my name all the time. No matter if I'm AM, FM, it says Bob pretty much as soon as I turn it on.
Yeah, we get that. We get that on ours too. We had it the other night. Actually, say the name of two of the investigators who were there, which was really interesting. So, yeah.
And it says our names. It said our founder's name, Shane. It's a little girl was talking to us, which is what the clips I sent you. One is from Cowtown. One is just from an investigation at somebody's house. But it actually was saying about the homeowners. It said about the ex-husband's job, what he does. It was just for an hour straight. It was just so insane stuff that wouldn't make any sense. It's like it wouldn't be radio. It couldn't have been because it was too coincidental to be just radio bleed through or whatever.
Right. So. I understand. We've had a few like that as well. We were doing using it at the Robert Lang Studios up in Seattle, and we actually said, how many people are in the room? And it said 7, and then another person walked in, and it said 8, little one, and the person who walked in was small. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, that was a little coincidental for us. We were all like, whoa!
I've never used a ghost box. Not really all that familiar with them.
I made a little teeny tiny one that was, it's a Jensen, I think, it's just an armband radio, and then I have little teeny tiny MP3 speakers. I can carry that thing around in my pocket. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, Cheryl, okay. do you want to go ahead and pull up the Ghostbox sessions that they sent?
Yeah, let's play the first one here, and then we'll talk about it, and then we can play the second one. Okay, that's the first one.
So, is it the daddy you promised? Is that what you're hearing?
Right, because this is like 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're looking for the little girl that lived in the house, and she passed away in that same house.
In the Murdoch house.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In the Murdoch house. So I'm asking for either Mr. Murdoch or what's her name, Love and Tango. I always get it wrong. The little girl's voice, Jerry, or the little girl's name.
Yeah, Love and Tango.
I was always asking for her, and she was, what, 12 or so, or 9, or something like that when she passed away. So we were always trying to get little girl's voice or somebody to say Murdoch or, you know, trying to collaborate the story.
That sounds way younger than 12 or 9.
It does. It sounds really young. So does it stay on a station when it's scanning through those dials? Daddy, you promised it's going to take less than a second. So right.
For probably that, you hear that when you listen to it, that's the channel, that's each channel changing. So it's pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
It goes, you know, for normal voices or, you know, normal radio.
Right.
So it doesn't actually stay more than, you probably couldn't get a full sentence usually. Mm-hmm. Except for the daddy you promised was probably one of the longest ones I've gotten. Mm-hmm. But you normally just get yes, no, blue, purple, you know, just one word things, you know, hardly ever get full sentences because it scans so fast.
Shall we play it?
It could be radio bleed over, but it was just a weird coincidence because we were asking for a little girl and next thing you know, little girl's voice came out and, you know, we would never take that to a homeowner and say, hey, I caught a little girl in your house using this broken radio. It's just something I like to mess around with. And usually at the end of the night, I'll do it, you know, just as the investigation is winding down. And usually in homeowners and in their houses, I won't do it. Normally it's in businesses and big places like Cowtown where it doesn't matter. Right. You know, the homeowner's not sitting there going, oh my God, I heard a little girl, you know, and start freaking out, because that's the least thing. That's the farthest thing we want to do.
Well, we don't know what it's doing. We don't know if it's just, you know, coincidence or so. Yeah.
Right.
So tell me, when you listen to it, what I find when we do a ghost box session is I actually get fatigued listening to it after about 10 to 15 minutes, and I just can't make anything out after about that period of time. Do you get that? Do you get the fatigue when you listen?
I do, but I have always had my recorder right next to it, so I'll go back, and I found that I only physically hear right then live maybe 10% of what actually comes through. A lot of the stuff I catch is when I go back and listen to it. I'm like, oh my word, that did say, you know, it actually answered my question, but live I never heard it because, you know, all the static and all that stuff, it fried my brain, you know, or you know, I thought I heard something, but I wasn't for sure, you know, but I go back and I'll listen to it and I'm like, wow, that really did say that.
Have you ever had the experience of getting a consistent voice that almost seems to come between channel jumps?
Yeah, definitely. And it's on different frequencies because I always pay attention to what frequency it's on. Mm-hmm. I'll get the same like male voice saying different things, and it's in different frequencies, but it's the same voice every single time on different ranges. You know, one will be up on the, you know, 1330s on the AM, and the other one will be down at the 800, you know, 87, you know, they're all over the place.
Right.
But it's always the same voice.
Yeah, I've had that experience too, and it almost sounds like it's coming underneath the jumping of the stations. The voice does. It doesn't sound like it's coming, being cobbled together out of the voices from the stations. It actually sounds to me, some of them, like it comes underneath. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's like it's hard to explain to people that haven't heard it, but it's like in between the static. It's weird. You know, it's not really a channel. It's like almost in between the two, and it's like radio's. It's kind of hard to explain, yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about because I've had that experience as well. And it's an interesting piece of equipment. So you have another one, right, Cheryl?
I do, yeah. Let me play this one that we've just been discussing one more time before I go on to the next one.
Okay.
Still something more tough now when I blow this hold on.
It's amazing.
You listen in between the stations.
Okay.
You know, I actually, even after Daddy, You Promised, I heard like fading out child's voice.
Yeah, like it wanted to say more, but it went through, you know, it scanned past it. And then you hear us reacting to it because the one that you'll play next, me and Shane actually were in the little girl's room and talking. We got the little girl and it freaked us out because you don't expect a little girl to sit there and go, you know, can you tell me what your name is? No. Well, why not? I don't wanna. And it was just like a little girl talking to us, and that's when we were like, oh, here we go again with this little girl, but this is a totally different location. And I don't know if it was the same little girl, but the voices to me sound a lot alike. But
that part, Bob, you didn't mention what was interesting about the Daddy You Promised. Bob had a hand, he was walking up the stairs of the Murdoch house, and a hand grabbed his ankle.
That's always somebody there. That's always
fun,
isn't it?
Yeah, I actually felt the squeeze. And then Shane, I was like, man, you got to stand right here on these stairs. I don't know if I'm just goofy because I'm tired because it's at the end of the night. It's 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And he stood like 3 steps down from me and actually felt like somebody ran their finger down the back of his calf. And then the other girl that I was in the same room with us that I was explaining you have to listen into in between his stations at the beginning, she actually felt like something touched her butt, and it was all going on at the same time. And then I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll try the ghost box since we're actually getting stuff happening. Maybe we can try to see what happens. And then I turn it on, and that's right when I first turn it on, and within the first couple seconds, because I wasn't even – I was just explaining what the ghost box does and stuff. And then, bam, the little girl voice, whatever you want to call it. It was just a weird coincidence.
Yeah, huh. Hmm. Okay, so let's listen to the other little girl voice that we get then.
Something just laughed. Do you hear that? What's the little girl saying? Agatha? We're trying to contact Agatha. Can you come talk to us? So it'd just be the little girl. Everybody else needs to step back. We want to contact...
There that was. I forgot that one, Bob. Oh, my God, that gave me the willies again.
Yeah, I heard that at the end.
Yeah, I heard that, too. Right.
I don't want to... I hear no, mommy. And it's like it's almost like pleading. Like, no, mommy, don't... You know, like, I don't know if the mommy was going to do something or if she was in trouble or who knows what. But that was the same girl's voice. Sherry was there, and she can actually back me up. And I have, like, pretty much an hour of that same little girl's voice talking to us. And then a male came in and started talking to us. And that's why I was saying all the guys need to step back. We just want to talk to Agatha. Because every time I was trying to talk to her, all these other guys were going, Mike and Jim. And then they started telling the homeowner's name, the wife's name, the little girl that lived there that kept seeing these little twin girls all the time. One would talk to her, one wouldn't. This is what, you know, the claim of the family, why we were there to help them.
Uh-huh.
And then I got that little girl's voice. It was just, it was crazy.
Huh. Yeah, that was a good one.
That was really good, yeah.
That was a good one. Did we get that first time
we tried that, wasn't it, Bob?
Yeah, that was the first, like, actually real time I've ever tried it, and it just blew me out of the water. But some places I go and I don't get anything, and it's just like, it's just hogwash, and you can't make anything out, and I'm like, well, okay, maybe there isn't anything to it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I would recommend...
very skeptical, and I get very tired listening to it.
Yeah, I do too. But I would still recommend that people try it. It's I made mine, the little Jensen one, for like under $20, including the MP3 speakers. And like I say, it's portable. They're kind of fun to play with. And, you know, they're really, really easy. I'm a total mechanical moron. I can't make anything mechanical. And I opened up my little ghost box and clipped the purple wire and off we went, you know. So it's really easy to do.
And you can get the parts for this thing at Radio Shack. How about like Best Buy or?
No, the best ones that work are, they're called, you know, Hack Shacks or Shack Hacks or something like that. But you can look them up on YouTube and there's a certain number and it's just a digital AM/FM radio. And you just open up the back, bend one prong over so it constantly scans so it doesn't stop when it hits a frequency.
Uh-huh.
You just bend one prong over and put it back together and you're done. So it's a little black digital radio, you know, a Radio Shack for like $29.
You can also go to Inside the Box, Ghost Box Communications. I'm sure if you Google it, you can find it because I don't have it top of my head. But if you go to Inside the Box, they have instructions for making the Radio Shack hack, which is what Bob and Sherry are talking about. And then they also have instructions for making the little Jensen one, which is the one I'm talking about. Now, I actually have both. I actually have the Radio Shack hack and the Jensen, and I prefer the Jensen. But, you know, they're really, really easy to do. So. Okay. All right. So, Cheryl, did we get that other EVP loaded, or are we giving up on it?
We're going to try it one more time. I went back to the source email and reloaded the file, and so let's give it a shot.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's not going to play for us. I don't know why.
It's on our website, though.
Okay, great. Why don't you give the location of that one so people can go check it out, because it's a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's just WichitaParanormal.com, and it's under... we have on the left hand side we have links and it's evidence and it's like the fourth one down.
So I have.
You'll see it actually says, you know, I don't know or whatever. It's actually on there.
It's so really clear
for the public.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. So we have a few minutes left. And I thought that we would try a feature that we haven't tried before on our radio show, and we'll see how this goes. And that is taking some callers. What do you guys think? Bob and Sherry, you up for our possible technical difficulties of taking a few callers?
Sure.
Sure, Donna, hurry up and call.
Not so, people we know.
So here's the deal, is that you're going to call, and what you're going to hear is us talking, and as soon as we acknowledge you, you can answer your question, ask your question, but if you'll wait until then. So the contact number is 714-646-4197 if somebody wants to call in. Please do, because we'd like to give it a try and see. So while we're waiting for somebody to call...
Don't be scared.
That's right. Don't be scared.
Come on, Colin. You can do it.
Yeah. So in the meantime...
You're so cute, Colin. You're so cute.
In the meantime, let's talk about being a TAPS family member. You guys are a TAPS family member, and I see that there's some discussion going on in the chat room about that. So let's talk about that for a minute, guys.
Okay. What would you like to know?
What would you like to tell us?
Oh, geez. Well, I could go on forever. There's so much misconception about being part of TAPS and the Ghost Hunters and Jane Grant. You know, there's so many people out there that love Jane Grant, and there's so many people out there that hate TV show, paranormal, parastars, any of that stuff. And they always get the two mixed up. They always think, oh, right away, we are part of the TV show, and we know Jane Grant, and they're our bosses and whatever. But the TAPS family is completely different, separate from the TV show. TV show is, it's entertainment. We're mm-hmm. actually out there to help people. People are actually really scared to live in their homes. They see TAPS on TV. They go to the TAPS main website and try, I want Jane Grant to come to my house. Well, Jane Grant can't come to your house because they're doing a TV show. That's why they set up the TAPS family, and they're trying to get TAPS family members in every state to help the people. I mean, that's why the majority of people that got into ghost hunting got into it for, to help people, to try to figure out what's going on in their homes. Right. Not to make money, not to be a TV star, you know. Yeah, that would be nice, but I'm not in it for that. You know?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I wouldn't turn it down, don't get me wrong, but I'm in it to try to figure out what the heck's going on. What are these shadows that people see, and why are people afraid to live in their houses? Because, you know, a lot of people are actually physically scared, you know, when they call us.
Yeah.
Can you come to our house? I need help. My daughter won't sleep. There's people being scratched, the whole nine yards. And that's what the TAPS family does. We're not part of the TV show. And we didn't have to pay to become TAPS family members. That's a big, big thing. Everybody was like, oh, you had to pay $10,000 to be a TAPS family member? No, it's free. We don't have to. You have a lot to go through to get to be a TAPS family member. Background checks, criminal background checks. You know, you have to have a website up for over 2 years so people know that you're legitimately into the paranormal and not just try to be on TV like everybody else. Because there's so many teams nowadays that popped up. Kids out in graveyards, running through graveyards, knocking headstones over, saying they're ghost hunters.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that going on. And that's what they try to weed out and make sure that TAPS family are actually, you know, dependable, reliable, not criminals, not to scam people. Oh, you need to give us $1,000 to investigate your house because we're TAPS. No, it's free. We will never charge. We never get paid. We travel all over Kansas away from our families, you know, right. for three, 4 hour drives one way. You know, we're away from our families for 8 hours, just drive time, you know, and that's not including investigation and all the time going over evidence, you know, so we all have a passion for it. And I forgot where I was going. But anyway, TAPS is not a bad thing just because we're TAPS family.
Right.
I
would
love to. I just wanted to elaborate on what Bob was talking about. Pretty much everyone on our team has had personal experiences that has led us to this field and are very passionate about learning more about what is going on and helping others that have gone through the same situation. The TAPS being TAPS family is a huge honor because we do have to meet their standards, and we did meet that, which was a big thrill. And another reason is a lot of people before we were Taps family were asking, are you part of Ghost Hunters? Well, no. Well, right. Now we can say yes. But right. We haven't changed in any way other than if someone goes directly to the Taps website, the Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi's website, and they look up Taps family in their area, if they need help, they are referred directly to us. And cool. They get me.
Yeah, Jen Grant never sees it.
Right. So. Okay, so we actually have somebody who called in. I think it's probably Bert. Is it Bert?
It is. Yeah, it's me.
Hey, Bert, when you're done with your question, do you want to hang on and do the speed round with us? Because Rick has to go to work early.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Absolutely.
Cool. Okay, so you have a question for Bob and Sherry?
Not really. I just wanted to be the first one to call in. Okay, is your
refrigerator... Woo-hoo, Bert! Bert would like to know, is your refrigerator running?
Yes, is your refrigerator running? No, let me think of a really good... Oh, you know what? What other kind of experiments have you guys have tested that may spur activity, maybe in some place that may have paranormal activity?
Ooh, I got one.
Like, that helps. Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Sure, that helps.
Well, you've wanted to discuss this, too, on the Irish wind chimes. We've gotten small wind chimes and put them in a mason jar, screwed it to the lid, and asked ghosts, you know, they don't know what flashlights are and all that stuff because it's the 1800s when they passed away. They have no idea what all this equipment is. So we went low tech, thinking everybody knows what a wind chime is, even back in those days. So we asked the ghost, can you move the wind chimes, and actually had it happen. We have video of it actually moving. No rhyme or reason for it. These wind chimes are in a jar, sealed tight. The only way to move them is actually bump the table. So we put the camera on the table, so if the camera would move and they would move at the same time, you would be able to tell.
Hey, that sounds familiar.
No one was in the house, and it actually moves four times in a 22-minute period.
Yeah, and the camera's completely steady for, you know, a lot of it. But then you actually get camera movement where the wind chimes aren't moving. Like, something is messing with the camera.
Right.
And you can't see anybody come in or out. Or
I almost started crying when I watched that. It was on my video. And my husband was looking at me when I was going over. What is wrong with you? And I just started shaking. I was so excited.
Yeah, we actually did something like that too, didn't we, Bert? With the
it was with
the pendulum and the sphere. Yeah, we
have you guys ever tested the Ouija board or how it works or anything like that? I know a lot of people seem to shy away from their Ouija board, and I thought maybe you know, since you guys are testing different things, you may have given it a shot. Or what are your feelings about that?
I believe that is opening a door on something that isn't there, and that's inviting something else in. So we don't go anywhere near them.
Wouldn't it be similar to doing an EVP session? You're also opening that doorway for communications with those. I think the only difference would be dowsing, or just saying, is there anybody here that'd like to speak to us? Which seems to be a common question with, researchers, but isn't it kind of the same thing, other than a board and a recorder in your hand?
I think the Ouija board is not bad itself. I mean, this is my opinion. It's just a board. It's a game.
Yeah.
You know, you buy it at the store. It's all about how you word the questions. Is there anybody here that wants to talk to me? Well, you're asking for anyone to come talk to you. You're inviting anything into your house, good, bad, positive, negative, whatever. If you word it, is there someone around me, like a spirit guide or a you know, a guardian angel or loved one that's passed, I would like to talk to you. You know, it's all about subtle ways you word it. And I think it could be used for good. I mean, just like we do with a ghost box or an EVP session. Is there somebody here that wants to talk to me? You're opening the door for anything. Is there somebody in this building that would like to talk to me? That's a different thing. It's all about how the wording your questions. But that's just my opinion. I don't think it's a bad, evil thing. It's not going to burst into flames. It's gotten a bad rap throughout all the years because people misuse it.
You get a child that doesn't know what they're doing. I just think it can be dangerous.
Right. Okay. Yeah, exactly, because kids are in there messing around.
future.
They want to talk to Elvis or they want to talk to Hitler or somebody, you know.
Right. But as paranormal investigators, don't you think it's important to communicate with everything, whether it be, you know, Hitler or Ted Bundy or the devil or I don't know, Walt Disney? Would it really make a difference? Isn't that what you guys are...
I would totally love to talk to, like, a real, honest, goodness demon, even though everybody's so afraid of him. There's no chances that there's a real demon, and I'll say that till the end of my days.
Yeah, I agree.
It's all in people's heads. I would love to. I would love to get picked up, thrown across the wall. I'd love to have scratches down my back. I want it. Give it to me. I bring it on. You know, I go into some of these places, not people's houses, because they have to live in these people's, you know, we respect people's houses, but in these businesses. Yeah, in businesses and stuff, I'll go full bore. Go ahead, kick me, punch me, scratch me, throw me up against the wall, do something. You know, show me your power. You know, if you're so evil and you want to pick on poor little kids, here I am, pick on me. And nothing's ever happened.
Right.
And I would totally love that. But, you know, I couldn't bring a Ouija board into somebody's house and try to, you know, contact the evil.
No.
But, definitely do it. No. Yeah, if I wouldn't put my family in jeopardy, I would totally do it.
So, so Bob and Sherry, we are going to have to go to break in just a minute. But Rick had to leave. He got called into work in the middle of the show, so that sort of stinks. But I was wondering, we do this thing at the end called a speed round where we just do one or two sentence questions to or answers to questions that I posed. Would you guys like to stick around for that?
Sure.
Oh, sweet. And Bert's going to stick around, too. Yep. So in the meantime, we do need to – I know that there was a question in the chat room, and I'm sorry we're not going to get to it because we have another guest standing by. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to an iPad app maker who has made an app for the iPad called The Ghost in the Machine. So we will be right back.
8. I deliver your Sunday paper every week.
7. I'm the intern. We work on the same floor.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. Our kids walk to school together every day.
Including millions of children and seniors.
5. We chat in the elevator at work sometimes.
We all know people who aren't sure where their next meal is coming from.
4. I'm your cashier at the grocery store.
3. I work at the coffee shop around the corner.
2. I'm your babysitter. I care for your children.
1. I'm your grandmother's friend. We play bingo together.
Who's the 1 in 8 in your life that needs help? You can make a difference through Feeding America and its nationwide network of more than 200 food banks. Take action at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Identification.
You're listening to Z Talk Radio Network.
operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
All right, and we are back. Unfortunately, Rick had to leave, but we have another guest on the line with us. We have Tom Tancredi. Now, Tom is the co-creator of the new iPad application, and it's called The Ghost in the Machine. Tom, I downloaded it, and you're going to have to tell me how to use this.
Sure. Well, the iPad app is it's pretty straightforward. We designed this thing to really form to the function of the iPad. It's basically a Ouija-like board, a spirit board, and what you do is you can lay it on the ground or lay it on a table with you and your friends. You can sort of ask a question and then see the response that you get. The great thing about the application is that there's over 25 touch points on the edge of the board, so plenty of people can use touch the planchette, or they could, you know, put their hands on the edge of the board, and the sensors feel the stress points and the vibrations in the hands to actually help it, you know, put energy into the board.
Hmm. Okay, so do you have to actually continue to... I'm sorry if you hear scratching noise. It's my dog trying to get out of the room. She wanted in, and now she wants out. So do you have to continue to hold it down? Because what I've experienced is that if I touch it, the planchette will move, and then it'll move to, like, one letter and then burst into flames, which is wicked awesome, by the way.
Thanks. You don't have to. The thing about the application is that there is a built-in, as we call a built-in ghost into the machine. It's, code and, artificial intelligence, which basically has a set of moods that come in and out, and the moods go from angry, in which the board goes erratic and fitful, and then it goes into, solemn and slows down a bit. But it's all a little bit random as to which mood you get, and then you also have the influences of the person holding and the people actually, participating in the game. So that's part of the fun part about it, that once it starts, once it activates, there's a pushback as well. It's not just yourself, it's a collaborative effort.
Right. So tell me what made you decide you wanted to develop this app?
Well, it was a brainchild out of 10 of us, Bunch of Misfits guys and girls. We just wanted to have something fun, trying to find a really interesting use for the iPad. And so we just, we're looking around, just trying to think of something we can do, and realize that a lot of the things that we liked doing were a little bit, on the spooky side, a little bit on the weird side. And this just seemed like a great fit. It was just one of those things where we wanted to do something different from the iPhone, which is more of a personal space, to the iPad, which is all about the public space, and just bring it out so that people can do something together. And so many people just had a lot of great ideas of how this thing can interact, and the more we got into it, we really enjoyed the mechanics behind it and a lot of the fun things that happened from it.
Hmm. Well, yeah, it's really cool. I like the graphics on it too. You have it do interesting things like burst into flames and little wisps of smoke come out and that type of thing. So, do you recommend this as a serious app or as a toy?
It's a good question. We actually put it out there, and half of us are big fans of like Lovecraftian technology meets the paranormal. The other half of us are just into make gaming, to make games. And the response that we got back is actually a lot of people who downloaded the app are asked that very same question. They're always wondering, like, we get it from the game where people say, this app should not be out there. This is playing with fire. To this game is a lot of fun, but it's, a little bit spooky. From the group of people who have made this, and this is, out of 10 people, I would say it's split down 50-50 as to what people believe in it. And you can sort of see that in the styles and the people who paid a lot of attention to the AI, that they really wanted to make something that was interactive and you know, had that attention to detail, because they really want to. The big fans of the paranormal. I think, personally, it is a game. But, you know, it's open to the people's interpretation. I definitely have had some really great experiences with it, where it was answering questions left and right. Very accurately, too.
So is there code built into it that actually makes it form words, or is that just sort of a random lucky thing when it does?
There is code that goes into it to help aid it into forming words, but that said, it is, you know, very random. I mean, there's a lot of variables in play. Number of touch points go into it, the mood that it randomizes onto it, and then on top of it, where things, you know, evolve to. So it is. There's a tendency for it to form, you know, yes or no, maybe, but whole words, it's very random.
Yeah, my experience, and I just downloaded it today when I heard you were going to be coming on, and so I've just played with it a little, and like I say, I'm having a little trouble getting it to do anything more than move to a letter or two and then burst into flame, so...
I understand, yeah.
Thank goodness my iPad hasn't burst into flame, so I'm okay with that.
Hey, Tom, yeah. This is Cheryl. I wanted to ask you... Hi, how long has this application been out?
It's only been out for about 2 weeks now, and we're already pushing for updates on it right now to stabilize the AI, and to really add a couple more fun features like the exploding board. And it's gotten actually a lot of great feedback from it.
That's what I was going to ask you. What kind of response have you gotten so far?
Surprisingly, we've gotten a lot of response around the world. We've gotten people from Italy and China who really, really love the application, and a lot of the Asian countries have sort of, you know, the respondents have been people saying, you know, great, you should bring this into a different language. Have you thought about these alphabets using this? And that's something that we're definitely exploring for the next version.
Okay.
But, you know, once again, in America, which is the most downloads, obviously that's where the iPad is. Mostly, and you know, it runs the gamut. It really just it's from people who are true believers, and of those people who are true believers to people who really don't think it's appropriate for mass production.
Gotcha.
And then there are people who just say it's a lot of fun. It's a simple game. It's fun for this, you know, a campfire trip.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And then, you know, there are people who, you know, like to see where it's going, but want to see more from it. You know, see where the purpose is.
Well, it sounds a lot like the game itself. You know, you can do with it what you want.
Exactly, yeah. And that's how we sort of intended it to be. We didn't want it to be, you know, a very thought-provoking game. We wanted to be true to what it was, which is, you know, a spirit board. And something that brings it to the public space rather than the private space, which allows people to sit around at a table or a campfire or the ground and just sort of use it.
Right. So we have actually Bob, who was our earlier guest, who's still on the line, and he actually had a question for you, Tom.
Sure.
Go ahead, Bob.
I was just wondering if there's like a warning on the game for like kids to... I don't know, like, to be careful with it, that it's just for entertainment purposes and not actually meant to talk to dead people, you know, like the Parker Brothers game, the Ouija board. I didn't know if you had to go through, like, the logistics of saying that there's a warning that it's just for entertainment. It's not, you know, because I just didn't know if your parents see their kids playing with this, and next thing you know, you could get in a lot of trouble, I guess.
Right.
A demon came into my house because using your app or something. I know that's not going to happen, but you never know. People go crazy.
That's a good question. The thing about it is that when you submit an application to Apple, you have to do a rating on it, sort of like how movies are rated from let me just take this off here.
That was the talking board screaming at you.
I know, exactly. It's actually the latest iteration. I mean, we're still playing around with the sound here a little bit. I was opening up to look at the rating on it. the thing about it is that when you submit an application to Apple, they basically make you have a rating for it, either for, you know, kid-friendly all the way up to rated R or even, like, X-rated, which is not really... those aren't the ratings, but it's the most adult content that you can get away with on Apple iTunes. And there's a lot of discussion as to whether or not we should, you know, what rating this should go to. Should it be in the Parker Brothers kid-friendly portion, or should it be, you know, to the adult theme levels, you know? And we settled, you know, down the middle, because once again, it really is open to interpretation. And to a certain extent, you know, based on how you rate it, Apple will, you know, will look at it and either approve or reject. And we have had you know, applications rejected prior to this for their content. And so we're really glad that Apple accepted this one. Some iterations that we were talking about was having blood well up to the screen or something like that, but we were really happy with just the fire and brimstone a little bit here.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, exactly. so did that answer your question?
Bob? Did he answer you? Okay.
Yeah, totally. Thank you.
So it's $1.99, right?
Yep, definitely.
So it's $1.99, and it's available from the Apple Download Store. Now, do you have a website as well that people can check out, Tom?
Yeah, we do. We publish it under domandtom.com. My twin brother is Dom, and my name is Tom, and we both own a company for mobile app development, and that's where we published this application. Most of our the group members who are working with on it, you know, agree that it'd be fun to publish it under our flagship, and that's where it's listed now.
Great. Well, it's a really fun app, and I'm looking forward to playing with it a little bit more because it is fun. And you know what? I'm not above pulling it out in a haunted location and seeing what happens with it. So I'll keep our listeners posted. So, is there any other information that you want our listeners to have, Tom?
Oh, no. I just hope that they go and enjoy it as much as we hope everyone does, you know, and we're always open to more information about how to improve it and make it more interactive.
Great. Okay. Okay. Oh, right. Cheryl had one more thing first.
Yeah, I just wanted to let everybody know that Tom has done a Q&A for Paranormal Underground magazine, and everyone should look for it in our August issue, which should be online soon.
All right. Okay, Tom, thank you so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks so much, guys.
Hey, let us know when you've got another cool app out, okay?
Will do.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye, Tom.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, so we have, we're ready for our speed round, and we have Bert and Sherry and Bob and Cheryl. And so just for Bob and Sherry, just so you know, basically I'm going to give you a few questions, things from the world of the paranormal and that I've looked up this week, and I'll ask you for your opinion and, you know, one or two sentences, because it is a lightning round. This is our way of doing a round table without having to have in-depth discussions. So you guys ready to go?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
Ready.
Okay. Okay, so the first one, a new website has popped up, and it's dedicated to paranormal drama. It's called paradrama.com. So what I want to know is this. What's up with all the drama in the paranormal? Bert?
Yeah, you know, I think it's one of those things that people are just going to do. You're going to have good, and you're going to have not so great.
Yeah.
I wonder what.
Yep. Sherry, what do you think?
Well, we try to avoid as much drama as possible. However, Bert is correct. It doesn't matter what field you're in, there's always going to be some kind of drama going on.
Yeah. Bob?
Yeah, there's always drama, and there's certain people right now that are having a big fight that used to be on a certain TV show that we may or may not be a part of on Facebook. And I may or may not have been watching it, but it's like when they have nothing else better to do, they start tearing each other apart. Well, you believe in this and I believe in that, and I don't understand it. We're all in it for one reason, and that's to find the truth. Do ghosts really exist? That's what we should all become together and share information. And, you know, our technique works for this, but it doesn't work for this, and yours works for this and doesn't work for that. We should all come together.
And you know that fight that I think that you're talking about. This is what I have to say about that. I don't think that either side is right, but I got to tell you, if somebody has to pretend they're dying to get you off their case, maybe you need to look at your life and the way you treat people. So, Cheryl,
I agree 100%.
Cheryl, drama.
Okay, I'll admit it. I already signed up at paradrama.com. My screen name is Drama Queen.
Mine, I signed up too, and what did I say mine was? I already forgot. Snooki. That's right. And that'll figure into our question later, so.
Yeah.
Okay, excuse me. Next question. Two nearly identical crop circles have appeared in Berkshire, and many believe that the images look like Jesus' image on the Shroud of Turin. So I have two questions. The first one is the Shroud of Turin. What do you think of this? Is it a relic? Is it something else, Bert?
I'm going to say relic.
Yeah, okay. Sherry?
Relic,
okay. Bob?
It could go on forever, but I'll say there's probably some truth to it, but I think a lot of people have had their hands in it to make this story even more than what it is.
Yeah. Cheryl?
Well, first of all, I don't see any image of Jesus or the Shroud of Turin in the crop circles, so I must be missing something. But what was the other question?
We'll get to the second question, and yeah, I was okay. Going to say, when I looked at it, because I took a look at the link today, and you can actually, if you go on to unexplained-mysteries.com, you can find the article that talks about this, and take a look at the crop circle yourself, because the address is just too long to give out otherwise, but it looks like matrixing to me. So the second question is just about crop circles, or this crop circle, do you believe that the aliens are somehow trying to communicate with us by placing Jesus's image in a crop circle? Bert?
No, I don't think. No, I think drunk teenagers are doing it.
Sherry?
When you asked that question, I immediately rolled my eyes. So, there's your answer.
You don't think the aliens are trying to share Jesus's word with us, huh?
Not in that form, no.
Okay, Bob!
I love aliens, and it's a big passion of mine besides Ghost. That's the reason I got into it. I was always an alien person, but I don't think that they'd be sending images of God in a crop circle out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
I think they got way much better things to do than do that.
Yeah, okay. Cheryl?
I'm going to go with maybe.
Maybe, okay.
Maybe.
Okay. And do you want to follow that up with anything, or are you just going with maybe?
Nope, I'm just going with maybe.
Sweet. Okay, so the next one. Just a few days ago, a giant hailstone that weighed more than 2 pounds fell in the town of Vivian, Ohio. A 2-pound hailstone. Is this just another sign of the nearing apocalypse, Bert?
No, I think they'd come from the septic systems of alien spacecraft.
I'll take that. Sherry?
You know, I'm kind of torn. I'm going to have to say maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Bob?
I don't know. I think maybe too.
Yeah.
Just keep it short.
It was not a blue hailstone, in case you were wondering, you know. So it's not like airplane toilet hailstone or anything. Cheryl?
2-pound hail has to be another sign of the apocalypse.
Oh, God, the end is near. Okay. So, last week we talked with Sean B., who is the author of the Paranormal Cookbook, and one of the things that we talked about was black-eyed kids. And Bob and Sherry, I know that you didn't listen to this, so I don't know if you're familiar with the phenomena or not. Are you guys?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, we'll just...
A little
bit.
Oh,
go ahead.
I think my eyes were almost black when I was young, but they're brown now. I think it's because the innocence have gone out of me.
Oh.
I thought the brown eyes might be for another reason that I'm often accused of having brown eyes for. So Bert, I know you listen to the show. What do you think of the whole black-eyed kids thing?
You know, I was kind of only halfway listening to it, so I think I I'm sorry, but I wasn't paying attention to that part.
Okay, Cheryl.
All right, it's up to me, I guess.
It's up to you.
I did a little reading on black-eyed kids, and they are scary. I think they are a cross between demons and vampires.
Yeah, you know, the stories, while bordering on urban legend, are a really interesting read if you go and you start reading these stories about the black-eyed kids. It's pretty fascinating. Okay, so a British woman underwent a virtual gastric band surgery via hypnosis. So in other words, they hypnotized her and they walked her through gastric band bypass surgery. And she lost 80 pounds. In just a few weeks following the surgery. So what I want to know is, do you think that hypnosis can actually control our minds to that level, Bert?
Yeah, I think it can. We have yet to untap the human mind in the way that it works. So there is a possibility that that could work.
Okay. Sherry?
I think if the person that is having the hypnosis is receptive to that, then absolutely. But if the person that is trying to have the hypnosis done to them isn't receptive to that type of treatment, then it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bob?
Yeah, I agree with that 100%, that if they want it to happen, it's going to happen. Mind over matter. But if you're going in there going, this is a bunch of woo and it's never going to happen, you're never going to lose the weight by being hypnotized. You got to want to do it. The hypnotist can't make you do anything you're not willing to do in the first place.
Right.
So,
Cheryl.
Yeah.
I agree, yeah. If someone is willing, hypnosis can definitely help them on that road. I've known a couple of hypnotists, and they have actually done hypnosis to help people lose weight, and it has worked.
Yeah, well, and all hypnosis is self-hypnosis, which is what the hypnotherapists that I've interviewed say. It's all self-hypnosis. Bert, did you have something else to add?
Did you say a British woman?
Yeah, a British woman. It actually said, said she lost... Sure. She lost... They listed it in stone, but I think isn't one stone 20 pounds? Is that right? Do you guys know? Nobody knows. Well, she lost a lot of weight. Anyway, so this last question, unfortunately, was for Rick, who had to go, but we'll go for it anyway. And I feel badly because this is my first week where we haven't had a Twilight question in our speed round, but since Rick's not here, I guess it's okay. So here's my final question. Last week, we talked about guilty pleasures, and my guilty pleasure was the Jersey Housewives, and Rick said his guilty pleasure was Jersey Shore, so naturally, I had to check it out because I'm so addicted to the New Jersey Housewives, I thought, what the heck? So I just don't know if these people are serious or not, but I did come up with a new nickname for Rick, and it's going to be Polly Situation, and I would like you to start calling me K-Wow Snooki. So here's my question for you guys. I would like to also give Cheryl a Jersey Shore nickname.
Oh, no.
Okay, Bert, do you have a Jersey Shore nickname for Cheryl?
Zombie Snooki.
Oh, okay. Sherry?
Well, I was going to say Snooki, but with her talking about zombies earlier, yeah, I like what you said.
Bob.
I just think it should be Sparkles.
Sparkles! Hey. Okay, Cheryl, so you get the last say on this. What would you like your Jersey Shore nickname to be?
Do I have to be Jersey Shored?
You have to be Jersey Shored because I have Jersey Shored Rick and myself.
Then I pick Sparkles.
Sparkles! Yay! Okay, so Bob and Sherry are... give us your website one more time.
It's Wichita, Wichita paranormal.com.
Great, thank you. And Bert is with NWPIA. Bert, you want to give your website out?
Sure, NWPIA.com.
That's pretty easy. And Cheryl, who do we have coming up next week?
Next week, we're going to be talking to Katie Christopher and Kathy Christopher from NEPA Paranormal, and they are going to be on talking about some of their investigations and a rather controversial and unique one dealing with possible spirit communication with the spirit of Don DeFeo from the infamous...
which is going to be really interesting. Okay, so thank you everybody for being on. And hopefully people will go to your website, Bob and Sherry, and listen to that EVP that we couldn't get going. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.